Stay tuned for an interesting transatlantic conversation conducted recently by our summer intern Andy Rogas with singer-songwriter, television writer, producer Melissa Whitehouse, who now appears here on Radio St. Pete every Wednesday night at 11 o'clock with her partner Steve Benz on a talk show known as Out Loud. Here's Andy Rogas with Melissa Whitehouse.
I was doing some research on kind of like how you got started into songwriting, and you started very young. You were 16. What was that like? Did you still go to school while you were working, or did you
I did. It was in the last, obviously very different to the States. Obviously you do your GCSEs here in the UK. So I was kind of like 15 and a half coming up to 16. And I should have been studying more, but I was on the back of a tour bus with my books and then going in on the Monday and sitting the exam. So yeah, it was a little bit kind of, it did cross over with my studies, but I did get through the exam. So there was a happy ending to it, which was cool. But when I got my first break, I did like a Friday night primetime TV show and kind of jumped halfway out of the exam on the Friday to then be seen on the TV by my tutors and teachers. And then obviously kind of done the tour and then back in on the Monday. And it was like, where were you on Friday afternoon? I didn't have a good excuse because everyone had seen it.
So there's no talking your way out of that
really
one.
Cool. Yeah, exactly. They forgave me. They knew I was doing something positive. So which was really, really good. Yeah. So I got my first break really at 14 in theatre. And then I started to do like a Saturday morning workshop with kind of theatre and performance, got the chance to do some more singing. And then I did a competition. I think I was just coming up to 15. I sent off a demo tape and I kind of got a response quite quickly to audition, a bit like America's Got Talent and X Factor. Going way back. And there was about 10,000 people that had gone for these auditions. And I got down to the last three, got put on the TV with that. And then I came second. I didn't get the first. And I didn't really look back. I got my management deal from there. And as much as it's hard to survive in the music business when you first start out, because you've got to earn money and do gigs, there was lots of temping and dead end jobs and things, but still kind of keeping up with the music productions and performances, which gave me the chance to kind of work in the industry in lots of different areas. So I ended up doing a job at Capital Radio in London, which is obviously a high profile station here on FM. Then I went to MTV and worked with their marketing and press, which was amazing. So I got the chance working with programming. So I got to learn a lot about the industry, but behind the scenes as well as doing the journey of becoming a musician. So it was kind of two things going on at the same time, but it's helped me, which was good. So
yeah,
I was lucky that I got those breaks.
Did that help you when you started like your own production company and recording studio?
It did. Yeah. Because I think all of the things that you kind of think, oh gosh, can I do this? And you learn on the job. I'd had a good insight with some of the best people in the industry. So as much as we all make mistakes when we start our own businesses in different ways, I'd had good kind of training in those areas to kind of step on my kind of own two feet, really, to kind of move forward with things. So yeah, it was pretty cool. And I met some great people doing that as well. I got to work with a producer here who'd had a lot of success with a group called Soul to Soul. They had some great albums out, and that kind of gave me the kind of catalyst of getting the studio and getting a really good in-house producer, which meant I could write the songs I wanted to write, but at the same time sustain a business so I could actually survive. So it's quite a good way of doing it and meeting new artists. That was good.
Yeah. Do you ever collaborate with artists that come into your studio and get to work with them?
Absolutely. Yeah. Over the years, lots of different people, some fabulous people, actually. Recently, I worked with a great artist called Kalon Ray, and he basically was a finalist for X Factor and The Voice in the UK, which was great. So I got to work with him and managed to write a song for him as well, which was wonderful. So he's recorded one of my tracks, which is great. So yeah, it's just been really good to kind of work with lots of people. Sometimes it's artists that are just breaking. Sometimes it's somebody that's well known and they've kind of needed support in a team environment, not just solely me. And then other times it's been shows and things, and sometimes soundtracks for TV and film. So that seems to have come round in the last few months. Again, for me working in those environments, obviously my music is very kind of commercial and radio friendly, but there are elements which are very kind of like soundtrack-esque, if I can say that word. Yeah. And someone said, oh, it'd be good in a chick flick film or whatever. So that's opened a few doors, which is great. So just working with a few American companies on that side and a few UK companies. So that's good.
Yeah. Was television something you had always kind of had an interest in and looked into, or was that very like new and spur of the moment for you?
It was something as a kid. I think everybody goes through that phase. You want to be a pop star. You want to be a presenter. You want to do anything to do with media and kind of the glitz and glam. MTV gave me a big insight, obviously seeing all the artists coming through and how it all worked with programming. So that was really good. Then the writing side, I've always, since I was very young, I used to love writing, just stories, just writing for the sake of writing. I learned a lesson very young. I hope she doesn't hear this interview, actually. My dear friend, Sally, dear friend, Sally, she basically entered a competition based on a story that I had written, and she decided to rewrite it. And she won the competition. We were only six, seven. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that for as long as I live. And it's not because I'm upset about it. It was just one of the moments when I showed somebody my work, creative work, very like, it's okay. And they adapted it themselves and they ended up winning theatre tickets and all of these things. I was like, that was my idea. And I think it really put me in good stead for going forward in the future to be aware and protective of your work. We give a lot away for free as creatives with the way the industry is set up. And I think, that was a really big kind of lesson for me. So the writing side was always within. After I had the recording studio, I was very inspired to write about some of the experiences. We had some, and I will say, and they know who they are because I love them dearly. I still work. They were crazy people. They came in, some could sing, some couldn't sing, some could play an instrument amazingly, and some would literally, I'd want to put my fingers in my ears. I was very honest with people. Yeah. But amazing creatives on all levels. And I'd always nurture and support and give them the right kind of direction if they needed publishing or if they needed to put a record together. I'd help them start from a demo to getting it finished to presenting to the record companies. So the inspiration behind my first TV script was really having the studio and the element of the wannabe. Everybody's got it within them. They've all got, I think now we can all have that moment of celebrity, and you've got your Big Brother experiences, and you know, obviously you've got Jersey Shore and things like that that you've got on TV. Yeah. Everybody could be a celebrity, but you don't have to always have the talent of being a singer or whatever. You can just be you and become a star. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that was really the premise of the show, and I started writing these scripts, and it did actually get picked up and signed just before COVID. Which was amazing. But unfortunately, with COVID and the way the universe shut down, as quick as it came, as quick as it went. But good news, a few weeks ago, it's been picked up again, and we're going to be looking at the development process in the next few months. So keeping everything crossed. Something that I love, I started that work, nearly 8 years ago with that script. It's been written, adapted tons of times, and ironically we've gone back to the beginning, we've gone full circle, all of these changes, and then we've looked through all of the things and gone, that one was the best one. We all do it. Hopefully the reins will be picked up in the next few months, and hopefully some good things will start to materialize, so we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm. How like hands-on do you get to be throughout the process of creating it?
I'm bossy, Andy. I'm one of these people that, you haven't already told, I'm very kind of a, can we do this? Can we do that? So I've been very, very hands-on. Obviously, I came up with the concept, and obviously done the first script. I worked with the late Trevor McCallum on the first scripts, which was fantastic to do. And sadly, we lost Trevor a few years ago to cancer, which was just devastating. So within his memory, I really want to make sure that I get this project away, because it will just be a wonderful legacy for him of his involvement with it as well. But I think, hands-on is important. It was interesting you asked that question, because we were trying to find someone to play the lead in the pilot, which we auditioned lots of people. And the producer was very like, we want someone similar to me, but not me. And I'm like, oh God, that's a hard one to ask. After all of the audition process and the clock ticking for the filming, they ended up turning around and saying, look, could you do 3 or 4 months with drama training, and would you take on the role? Which was a big gasp for me, because I know what this industry is like. You can't be brilliant at everything, and you can't spin every plate. But I did take on the challenge. I did take the role on, and yeah, it was great. It was well received. I've still got a long journey to go. I'm no mega film star or anything like that, but it was amazing to learn the script, be behind the camera and in front of the camera, and just to learn all the attributes of everything, the way it all comes together. Great excuse to kind of have the opportunity of having the hair and makeup done. I wanted to steal them ladies to come and look at me. Because literally I was like, oh, I look 10 years younger. Can you do this? That's it. Every day I used to go and think, oh, this is great. So yeah, it was great to have that kind of celebrity whirlwind for just over, it was about 6 weeks of kind of picking up and putting down. But yeah, it was really good fun. But as far as hands-on, I found the funding, I found the team. We ended up with some great celebrities involved with it for the pilot. So, yeah, I'm quite driven. If somebody says no, that normally means yes. I'll keep going. Yeah, I'll keep going. So, yeah, really good.
Yeah, that's very good to be very driven, especially like in this industry, because you're going to get a lot of no's, but you just need to learn how to either turn them into yeses or find someone that will say yes. Yeah,
absolutely. I always laugh. I always have a lovely chat with the chairman of my publishing company, and he always says to me, I said no 3 or 4 times. And he was like, with the way it is with music, you need a vehicle for the songs. And he was just like, I love your songs, but they're quite individual, the way that I'd written the soundtrack. And I said, I've got this idea. He said, well, if you can get the TV show, then obviously you have a place for the song. So I thought, well, I need to write a TV show. And that's how it all came about. So I really created the vehicle for my music primarily, because I'm obviously a singer-songwriter and my music needed a home. And I thought, well, it's so hard to kick down the doors of these major stations. Well, why not do it yourself? I'm waiting weeks for a phone call back, or some people are great and they come back straight away, but they're all so busy and stretched. And I think that's the hard thing with the industry. You can make that phone call and then have to wait a month, or, you know, one of my clients who is involved with the project, I mean, like literally it was 6 or 7 months before I got any form of response. And then when I did, it moved really quickly. So I'm not sure how quickly things happen in the States, but on the UK side, it can be quite sluggish, which, if you haven't got the tenacity of keep pushing and whatever, and you think, well, I'm going to just drop this, it can just stop. And then you think, I've just done all that work for nothing. So you've got to, it is kind of like pushing water uphill. But I think from my experience, as much as I get frustrating days like any performing artist, you've just got to keep creating those opportunities, really.
Yeah, for sure. Because someone's not always going to be there to do it for you. And if you have like the skills to do it yourself, then that's amazing.
Absolutely. And so, and please rest assured, I don't have all of them. I do try. And I've even gone to extents when I first started out of creating my personal assistant, who was actually me, to get through the doors because they wouldn't talk to me. So it's just the way it is here with challenges. Mm-hmm. But I think if you can think out of the box, then it can create opportunity. And I think that's what it's about. It's showing that you're hungry for something and you want to foresee that it's going to be succeeded and it's going to be achieved.
What has been your biggest like challenge just throughout your career that you've had to overcome?
Challenge, gosh, I think trying to spin too many plates. I think because I want to write, I want to perform, I want to execute. It's like the last three releases, I started to talk to production companies for the videos. Obviously, they're very expensive to get done as an independent artist as well. You're obviously self-funding. And I thought, do you know what? I might be able to do this. And everyone was like, oh no, she's off again. She's now a video director. And it's like, yeah. Can you try this? And I teamed up with another creative director, a guy called Eli. He's absolutely fantastic. He's given me support on the videos. And we worked from Israel to the UK, sending files back and forth, ideas. I took lots of footage on my travels, sent him the songs, then we would storyboard together. And then I ended up editing and putting together the videos. And they've done really well on YouTube, which is great. It's something that I didn't think I would be able to do. Now I've got the bug now. Now I'm kind of thinking, oh, what's the next one going to be? And I'm thinking, I haven't got time. Yeah, I need to definitely hand that over to someone else, because it's one of those things, you know, when you're doing that you can get lost for hours and then keep going back to it. And it's like baking a cake and thinking, I shouldn't have put the sprinkles on. Actually, let's take the icing off. Let's try this. And you know, until it tastes amazing. It's one of those scenarios. So I suppose I have wasted a little bit of time doing that, but I've learned a skill. So I can't kind of look at it yet that I've cheated myself on time. We've got a good result as well. So it's been positive move. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. That kind of goes with like something that I usually say to myself is, you can do anything you want, but you can't do everything. And that's something I've had to learn throughout my life.
Because, exactly.
Yeah. Like you really can do anything you put your mind to, but you only have so much time. You only have like so much that you can dedicate yourself to.
You can't do everything to perfection. Yeah. You're best to concentrate on the skill set that you've got and do an amazing job and then just resource other people. I know sometimes it comes down to money, but I think with the internet and all of the things we have access to now, most of us can do things. My son the other day came home and he said, oh, I've been remixing songs. And I was like, have you? How? And he's like, on this app. And it's like, he's playing me this music. And I'm like, did you do this? It was all kind of the app and me. But it's amazing what you can actually achieve now just from having an iPhone. So yeah, the sky's the limit.
I know. There's lots of just resources at your fingertips.
And it's absolutely. And I think that's one thing. Even with people that are creatives that are out or who may be listening to your show, in regards to being a musician, there's so many ways to record your music now. You don't need to be spending lots of money in the studio to get some rough demos down. Reach out to local creatives, guitarists, somebody to just get some acoustics down. It can open so many doors. So yeah, it's all about being creative and just kind of thinking outside of the box, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of like what you were saying earlier, like creating your own opportunities.
Absolutely. I just think that there's so many talented people. When I had the studio, so many people would come in and say, nobody else knows that I sing. I've seen guys who do different audition processes. And they were like, can you tell me if I can sing? Because I think some people that have real skill don't actually understand or realize how good they actually are. I noticed, obviously, with Radio St. Pete, obviously the great big database that you've got of artists and support that you're doing through radio there is just phenomenal. And I think that's what needs to be nurtured within these media like forms through radio, TV, and everything. There's so much new talent. We've got some amazing artists that are always the firm sure artists that you know, the Taylor Swifts, the Ed Sheerans, etc., that are always on the airways. But it's great to get the new talent through because there's some amazing artists out there.
Yeah. There really is. I would say like working with Radio St. Pete and just being able to like go in and look at their database and find new artists has been amazing because I never would have like heard them on the radio otherwise, but here I am able to like listen to them and find new, really, really amazing, talented people.
Absolutely. And I think it's a wonderful opening for artists as well, because sometimes they're just in that area where they may go and do a small show, or it might just be to family, friends, but to give an audience, you know, obviously an artist that audience that can kind of tune in and follow their work, then have that association with their platforms, with the Twitter and everything. It just builds new stars for the future, which is literally what it's all about, and nurturing new talent, which I've always been for. I just think, unfortunately, a lot of the major record companies are so lost within the machine that makes big finances for big artists. Mm-hmm. So to have these new independents coming through with opportunities with radio is just, the sky's the limit, isn't it? It's really exciting times, really is.
Yeah, it's definitely changed a lot just in the past like decade or so, between like, you absolutely had to have like a deal and like some bigger name, but now anyone can be downstairs on their iPhone, like making great music and just send it out into the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think from my background, I obviously was writing more for other people. Mm-hmm. Then I went through the transition of kind of getting some music out. There is a lot of ageism going on in the industry here. I know obviously it's kind of worldwide in different forms. Yeah. But obviously I had a lot of the national press in the UK coming to me saying, well, anybody over the age of 30, even certain radio stations here won't play kind of Taylor Swift, for example. And you're like, well, hold on a second. She's not old, but obviously it's just the way that the machine works. I think the good thing is when music is good and those restrictions are taken down, the new talent can get through, and it just kind of gives people that opportunity. Because some people end up having families and they miss the boat. They have to kind of keep a certain job down and they don't get the chance to explore their talent or what they want to do as a hobby. And they end up picking up the reins maybe when they're kind of like 35 plus, maybe into their 40s. Mm-hmm. So to have that opportunity is just fantastic. But I did lots of radio promo independently last year, which linked me over through radio pluggers to the States. It just shows you what you can do from the power of the internet in your own kind of like home environment or office. I think it was just short of just over 11,500 stations in the US played my single. That was no major label involved. That was no marketing plan paid for anything. It was just purely driven just by basically sending out an email, an MP3 and whatever. And obviously if people do like things, they will engage and it will open doors. And obviously that's led me to a great opportunity with the radio show that I do in the States called Out Loud, which is happening worldwide now. We've just hit over 60 stations. I am on air with Steve Benz. Mm-hmm. On a celebrity out in the States, which is brilliant. And that all came from my single being released and the opportunity of a co-host, which launched, I'm just trying to think now, the 4th of July last year. So we've been going just for over a year. And again, that's just, again, the power of the internet and conversation, even talking to you now, being in London, you're in Florida.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's like you're just next door. It's so clear. It's just amazing mm-hmm. technology, what we can do.
Yeah. What do you do on your radio show? Because I have heard about it. Do you guys do music? Do you do interviews?
What can listeners expect?
Okay. Yeah.
It's a talk show. Radio St. Pete are airing it, which is fantastic. So thank you very much to all of the team there for their support. So basically, it's to do with relationships. It's the difference between the Americans and the UK folk on dating, differences in day-to-day things that we do, from the way we dine out to the way we date, all of things. So it's a bit naughty. We're a bit cheeky and we kind of give each other a hard time. Obviously, Steve's mm-hmm. representing the American side and the bros. I'm obviously kind of representing the young ladies of the UK, but at the same time, it's universal that, you know, we cover lots of subjects. Sometimes we have very good production meetings and it's a very structured show and we hit everything we want to be talking about. Other times it's just pure carnage and all of the listeners tune in and go, what happened today? That was great fun, but that was 2 hours and it was just a blur. So yeah, it's very off the road, off the wall with the radio mm-hmm. Side of it. We have had a great response, but it has got some music kind of in between the kind of intervals and things. So if you like some good tunes from the 80s, 90s, up to date, and you want to kind of find out about the chaos between Steve and Mal, then definitely tune into Out Loud, 100%.
That sounds so interesting.
It's chaos, really. Well, you might need therapy if you tune in, but no. But it's just the silly things we talk about, the most craziest things. And today I was kind of walking down the road, and you know when you get them awkward moments where you might walk past builders. Now I don't know what builders are like in the US, if they're very polite to the young ladies, but they wolf whistle in the UK. They're a bit cheeky, and then you kind of think, oh, I'm going to walk the other way. And I decided to walk down the other road and came across the same situation with more builders. And I thought, I should have carried on the same road. They didn't offend me or anything. It was funny, but it was just the start of the show. And Steve's response to that was absolutely hilarious. So it's just the crazy things that happened to us. A few weeks ago, I went to a TV studio to park my car because I had a meeting, and ended up parking accidentally on a film set with a runaway truck that was about to take my car out. That's my life. My life is chaos. There's always some form of drama or something going on. So we talk about the chaos of why is it me? Why is it him? Or what? So it's good fun. So do check us out. Do have a listen.
For sure.
And we have got, we're on at Steve and Mal on Twitter, so you can find all the up-to-date information on there.
Oh, what is like your favorite part of your job? Because I know you said you've done a lot of things, you've spun a lot of plates. What has been your like favorite so far?
Oh gosh, that's such a big, I want to say everything. I loved when I had my music production studio and I started to do management for artists. Mm-hmm. That was one thing, because when I started out, no one in my family played an instrument. There was nobody that was creative. So I had to start from ground zero. So when someone comes my way that's got some talent and they're like, I don't know anyone, could you introduce? I love to nurture and support. So I think that was great to sit down with people, advise and do things. So when I did have the studio, which was over, it's about 11 years. Yeah, about 11 years that I had the studio set up with all of the in-house producers. It was great because so many of the artists done so well. And it was like having your kind of own extension of your own children. You were nurturing and then seeing them go off to do good things. So I love that part of it. But I just love being a creative. I just love that waking up in the morning and thinking, what am I going to do today? Right. Okay. I've got a great idea for a song. I had a wonderful guest on our radio show called Thomas Kavanagh. He's done very well. He's just been nominated out for the Josie Awards out in Nashville. So he's from the UK, but has been kind of out in Nashville and has done loads of wonderful things out there. And I had an idea for a song. I said to him, do you fancy coming into the studio? My publisher, Peer Publishing, said, yeah, that's absolutely fine. You know, if you want to kind of come in and do a day, we work with a great producer called Jonas Westlin. And Jonas has worked with Lady Gaga and some amazing artists. And we have just created a fabulous track. And that came out of nowhere. That was literally having my kind of cornflakes and cup of coffee in the morning. I quickly wrote down the idea, and literally by the end of the week we had a single, and I think that's going to be the next release. I hope it would be. It's a great track. And so you'll be the first to hear it when we're ready to launch. But yeah, I love writing. I just think I take my pad everywhere with me. Even though we've got iPhones and digital, they laugh at me like I'm prehistoric and I've got my pen and pad. But there's nothing better than hugging your pad, is there, and having a pen to write ideas and things down the old school way. Mm-hmm. So, So I would definitely say the writing aspect is just what makes me tick. From walking down the street to something that's happened that will inspire me, to having a good day, bad day from something that's happened, or hearing someone's news, or that there's always a way of kind of feeling better with kind of creativity, I feel.
What is your typical like writing process look like?
Oh my God. do you know what? I don't think there is one. If I went in and I was working with a client, if I was working with another artist, I would sit down and I would kind of like find out if it was yourself, for example, what you wanted to achieve, more about you as an artist, how you want the content of the song to be. And then obviously to sit down with an acoustic guitarist, I always come up with, the music in my head, I can hear it. Once the lyrics start to flow, I can hear the full composition, but I don't play any instruments. I can play basic keys, but if literally I tried guitar lessons, piano lessons, absolutely no inclination. I was just useless. Absolutely. But if I'm in a room and the band are there, I'm such a bossy boots because I can hear every single part of that music composition, and I can give directive, which is a little bit odd. So they're like, am I up an octave? Am I down this? If I've got backing vocalists, and I'm like, just sing it this way. I haven't got that kind of ability, but writing lyrics, singing, being put on the spot and actually creating a team composition, it just comes like second nature. It's really weird. I got the opportunity to write for a UK group here for their album, a group called Steps, very Aberesque kind of influenced. They done very well. And sadly, I didn't actually get the cut on the album because so many people wanted to be on it, but I was shortlisted. And we couldn't get the middle eighth for this particular track. And sometimes I can just be driving along, and then I think, oh no, it's happening. It's come into my head and I've quickly got to get it down and record it or quickly get to the studio. Mm-hmm. I usually run in like a mad woman with my coffee in hand and the producer saying, we're not ready to go yet. And I'm like, no, just put the mic and just press record. And I had to get it out. And I did get it that day and it came together really, really well. So in answer to your question, I just go with the flow. I've written in a constructive environment. I've written things on the back of an envelope and they've been my best masterpieces that I've done to date. It's just bizarre, really. So yeah, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so be warned if you come in the recording studio with me.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts about it, though, is it's like you can have habits and structures, but it's not like, oh, every time I do the same exact thing. It can be random and out of the blue. Like I will wake up and it'll be like 2 a.m. I'll like get my phone out and start like recording into my phone. I'll wake up the next morning and be like, what am I doing?
And have you ever looked at your pad, Ad, and you've just thought, that doesn't even look like my handwriting, because you are actually asleep. Mm-hmm. And it's just the weirdest thing. And then I think to myself, oh, hold on a second, there's some recordings on my phone. I don't actually remember that I've recorded them, where I've been in like half asleep. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even sound like me, but it is me. But it's just kind of getting these kind of ideas down. The funniest one was flying to Nashville. I was on a British Airways flight and I was sitting there and I thought, oh, right, I've got, and I'm thinking, I can't sing this out loud because the person next to me is going to think I'm insane. And I've got my iPhone and I'm trying to sing into this thing. I thought, I can't lose it. I need to get, and I'm actually going to the studio on the 18th of this month to record that single. And that was on a BA flight flying to, where was I flying to now? Chicago. I was flying to Chicago. I've been on the flight about 2 or 3 hours and it just came into my head. I thought, oh, that's a brilliant idea, but that's actually going to be another potential single. So you never know when it's going to happen. So you need to make sure you've got that pad with you and a quick way of recording it. So that's the fun, isn't it, of writing.
Do you have any last minute advice or takeaways or anywhere we can see or hear you coming up?
Absolutely. So if you want to find any more information, you can go on to my Twitter, which is MelissaH01. So everything's on that platform of releases and obviously kind of performances, etc. There's also melissawhitehouse.com and it's Melissa, M-A-L-I-S-S-A. Advice, I just think aim for the stars. Anyone that is a musician, that has a dream, that wants to be on that stage, forget your age, forget looks, forget size, all of the things that we all worry about. Music is music and it is a universal connection between all of us. Just go for it. And there are enough people out there to support and nurture. But just remember, you don't always have to rely on everyone else. You can do so much yourself. I think as artists, we all think that the record company will do it, or the promoter will do it, or the video company. There's so much you can do independently. And if you do it independently, you're in control and you can make that dream happen quicker as well. I would definitely say quicker, maybe not as big as some of the record companies throwing money, etc. I'm not saying there's an illusion that it will be different, but I just think tenacity, determination, and just following a dream. If you've got it, just go for it. Definitely 100%.
A transatlantic conversation with singer, songwriter, producer, businesswoman, Melissa Whitehouse. M-A-L-I-S-S-A, whitehouse.com is her website. The conversation conducted by our summer intern, Andy Rokos.